You all have a bulletin insert because I'm actually doing two sections of this at one shot here. I'm going to begin with why pray, and then I'm going to be going to how to pray. And you'll notice we have it up on the screen. And so today we're taking a little bit different turn because I figure if I do it this way, I can get through my material a whole lot quicker because the scriptures are going to be up here. You also have them in your paper that you can go back and look at them, but I'm going to ask you to focus on what is up here today. I know it's going to be, for some, it may be difficult to see, a little bit, because it's so much up there, but it's before you, because if I have to sit here and turn to each page, we're not going to get through all that I need to get through. The first thing I need to do is why pray? According to the scriptures in the book of Luke 18, 1 through 8, it says this, with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When we understand what God's trying to tell us here, is this thing going to work? Now it's on. Yep, it's on, guys. Nope. Advance it, JB. Oh, you got me turned on now? There it is. Number one, because Jesus taught, this is your answers for your form. Because Jesus taught that we should always pray and not give up. In the words that we read there, we heard where Jesus said that we are to pray day and night, okay? And from that reality, I'm wondering how many of us take these things to heart, that we put up our plea to the Lord and then we go about our way, figuring Santa Claus is coming to town. Well, that's not the God I serve. The God I serve wants us to be aware of who He is and continue to bring our petitions before Him. Okay? This is to be something that's truly on our hearts. Because if we bring it up one time and kind of cast it on Him and then walk away from it, does it really mean anything to us? Is there really a vital importance to it? Or is it just a whimsical thing? You know, it's kind of like looking at the sale flyers that come on Sunday. Or on Wednesday in the middle of the week. We all want to run out to Boscov's and get that El Cheapo product, right? Oh, looky, they got new shoes. And they're 50% off. And then we put the flyer beside the toilet in the bathroom and we kind of forget about it until, oh man, here it is Monday and the sale's over. Doggone, I forgot to go. Is that the way we pray? Our prayers are to be petitions that come before the Lord always and not giving up because it's supposed to be part of who we are. Do we really have the heart of God to want to see and effect change? God was waiting from eternity past to come into our world and then to accomplish the work that He was meant to do. And now He's waiting until the time when God says to Him, go, son, and get your children. Do you think He's just sitting there in the meantime playing tiddlywinks? God is in heaven. Jesus Christ is in heaven before the Father, petitioning on our behalf always. He is our intercessor. He does not give up praying. Should we give up praying? No, we should not. We should pray always. Pray always, making our petitions known to God. Why pray? Why pray? Because we have not, for we ask not. And we do not receive because our motives are wrong. In James 4, 2 through 10, it says this, You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God? Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely? Hear that word. But He gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. There's nowhere in there that I read that it says to barter with God. And do you know that's what many of us do when we pray? And I don't know if we're aware of it. But there are so many times that we go before God, oh, gracious Lord, we're in such dire straits. If you just do this for us, we'll never ask you for anything ever again. None of us have ever prayed that, right? We go before God and we say, oh, Lord, if you just please do this, I'll never drink whiskey again. Lord, if you just do this, you know, I'll give you my all in all. You ain't got nothing he wants. That's the reality of it. You have not, for you ask not. And when you do ask, you don't get it because your motives are wrong. You're doing it in a worldly manner. I shared this just last night with one of my dear brothers. When I was on my face in the hospital, when I had my second blood clot, and the doctors told me you have a 15% chance of living, and that's only if we take your leg. If we don't take your leg, you're not going to make it through the night. That was their word. We need you to sign these papers so we can take your leg in the morning. And I just sat there and trembled. And the Lord, as clear as I'm standing here and as clear as I'm speaking, said in my spirit, not verbally, because there were other people in the room, but He said to me, do you trust me? If so, you'll walk out of here. And when He said that, I was just like, no, you're not taking my leg. I'm walking out of this hospital. I had several doctors in my room. I was in the emergency room. And they said, you don't understand. If you don't sign this paper and let us take your leg, you're a dead man. Why do you think we told your wife to go home? We needed to talk to you personally. I said, I'm telling you, I'm walking out of this hospital. Not because of me, but because of what the Lord said. That night, I laid on my bed. And I said, Lord, evidently this is it. You know, this is where I meet my end. Because this doubt's running through my mind, right? I said, the Lord, whatever you want. It doesn't matter to me. I thought there would be more. But if this is where you want me to walk, Lord, this is where I'll walk. Thy will be done. Use me up, Lord. And if this is it, take me home. I made it through the night. As I was sitting there in that bed and I was crying, you know, I felt like David laying on his bed of tears. I was crying, but my spirit was at peace. I was crying not for me. I was crying because my wife had no idea, because she had left. Russell was just a little boy at that time, and I was going to leave a son. But I was crying not for me, but I was crying for them. Because I knew it was going to be hard on them, but I was going to be in glory. And that night as I laid there, the Lord spoke to me in a very wonderful way, very calming and reassuring way. He said, you've trusted me. And now, I'll give you life. But the life I give you is no longer your own, but it's mine. Live it as unto me, and do as I say, and follow me. Now, you all know what happened when I stopped following God, right? I ended up with a busted hip and a busted knee. He broke both legs because the sheep started to wander. And got me back on the right path. My motives weren't, Lord, but what about me? I'm this wonderful preacher. I'm out there. I'm bringing the word. There's people listening to me. They're coming to heaven. I wasn't worried about any of that. You folks were the last thought on my mind. Because the greatest thought on my mind was my God and my Savior. What do you want from me? You see, I understood before that point that my life wasn't mine. He was simply driving it home. And he wanted to make sure the motives of my heart were right before he brought me to the next level. Where are you? Are you ready to go to the next level? Are you ready to understand who God is? And are you ready to give up who you are, what you have, and what you think you need for what God knows you must have? And what he wants to give you? Is which one's better, what you want or what God has in store? Question number three. This comes all the way to six because number three doesn't have any underline or any blanks. Number three says, because prayer will deliver us from our troubles. In the book of Psalms, in the 34th chapter, verses 4 through 18, it tells us in there twice that God will deliver us from our troubles. When we cry out to Him, God will deliver us from our troubles. No, it doesn't say it up there. It says other stuff up there because that's number 6. But as we look to the reality of God, we need to understand, why do we pray? Again, because God delivers us from our troubles. No one else can. You can't deliver yourself from your trouble. How many of us can even change our mind? I mean, I have watched that so many times in the life of people that, you know, we're going to change. Oh, yeah, well, we're going to do this. And then 10 minutes later, well, we're going to do that. No, okay, well, we get a little bit of peer pressure, and the next thing you know, we're back to this other thing again. We are so out of control, there's nothing that we can control. I mean, if there's one thing that I understand, I mean, I'm going to say this as simply as I can. How many of you can even control your tongue? We try, don't we? But there are times we swear that thing has a mind of its own. And the stuff that comes out of it, I just don't understand where that came from. How many of you remember the TV show, and I'm going to date myself and all of you, Kids Say the Darndest Things? Y'all remember that, okay? Not y'all, but most of y'all, or some of y'all. Because they would have these little kids come up there, and Art Linkletter, I even remember him, Art Linkletter would have these kids come in, and they were school kids, little kids, and he would be talking to them, and kids would say the darndest things. And some of the things that were said on national TV by these kids would just shock you. Folks, it's the same way. We shock ourselves with what we do. But God says, no, trust in me, call upon me, and I'll deliver you from your trouble. And that's what we need to trust, that God will be there for us. Number four, because there's joy in prayer. I love this. This is a reality. This is John 16 and 24. And the Lord tells us that we are to come to Him and ask in His name, and He will give us what we've asked for. Because He wants our joy to be complete. Do you understand that? God does not give selfishly. God does not give so you are beholding to Him. God gives because He wants you to experience joy. God gives you for the joy of giving, that you yourself may be full of joy. That's His word, not mine. Look it up. Okay? That's why we're not going through all of it. You got to do some work here. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is work. to walk in it and look at it and understand that in life, while troubles abail, if you want joy, get into prayer. Because it's from that prayer that we'll find peace. It's from that prayer that we'll find hope. It's from that prayer that we'll find the trueness of joy. Because God will fill our hearts with Himself. And from that, there can only be joy. Number five, because God unleashes wisdom when we pray. You know, I think this is one of the most amazing things that many of us don't understand. We pray wanting stuff, okay? We pray wanting healing. We pray wanting guidance. We pray wanting deliverance. You know, we pray for other people for some of these things. But one of the things we need to realize is a lot of times God simply wants us to pray that He may indwell us with wisdom. Wisdom to understand who He is and how He truly operates. One of the things that I've noticed throughout my lifetime is I may begin praying for you in a specific manner, and as I pray and listen to the Spirit of God, because prayer is two-way communication, many of us think it's one way. No, it's two-way. There's a receiver on that phone, okay? And if we are willing to listen, God will teach you some things about yourself and about situations. And He'll begin to change your heart so that you pray more intelligently. Okay? You know, I can remember praying for patience for one gentleman. And I prayed for patience and I prayed for patience and I prayed for patience. And, you know, I don't ever want to pray for patience for myself. But I prayed it for him. And God began to change my prayer of patience, that God would literally put all kinds of things before Him so that He would understand that God is the one who's in control and He's completely out of control. Now that's quite the opposite of praying for patience, isn't it? But it was amazing because as I began to pray in that manner, guess what began to manifest in this fellow? Patience. It was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. And that fellow is my head deacon. And I love him for it. God just kept throwing stuff after stuff after stuff after stuff. And I watched it. Run, get it up and go and come to a man who, well, you know, whatever God wants. It's been an amazing walk to watch him grow. That's just one of you. I could speak of others. Couldn't I? You all know who I'm talking about. But when we submit ourselves to the Lord, He grants us wisdom through prayer. And number six, this is a powerful one. Number six, because God in prayer gives us the conduit of His power for His people. Prayer is the conduit of powers, of God's power for His people. In 1 Kings, and I use this because I wanted to go back to the Old Testament. I wanted to show you that this is nothing new. You know, a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, if it's not in the New Testament, there's got to be something in the New Testament that overrules the Old Testament. No. When it comes to prayer, a lot of what we know about prayer comes from the Old Testament. A lot of what God is and who He is in prayer comes from the Old Testament. And in 1 Kings 17, this is Elijah, and he's crying out to the Lord for the widow's son where he was staying. And he says, then he cried out to the Lord, O Lord my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die? Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, O Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Now notice there, did he pray once, Root? Did he pray twice, Miss Beth? Did he pray three times, Miss Liz? Yes. He didn't just pray once and get what he wanted. He went back and he went back. And the Lord heard his prayer, and the Lord, through that prayer, granted his request. Prayer is the conduit by which God releases His power into our lives. Many of us sit around waiting for God to act, and God is waiting for us to do something that He can react to. No, that He can respond to. God doesn't react about anything. God responds. And when we come to the point of prayer, God responds in power. Prayer is the conduit. Now, the one thing we need to understand is we need to go back to the principles that we heard first. Because if we're not asking in a proper manner, if our motives aren't right, we are not going to get what we're asking for. If we are not praying in joy, but we're praying in sorrow, or we're praying in anger, or we're trying to plead and please God in some manner, it's not going to happen. We need to remember that there needs to be joy in our prayers, right for where we are now. You know, when Paul was in prison, laying in squalor, and believe me, I mean that when I say it, because they didn't have bathrooms. If you had to go, you went on the floor. And Paul is laying in that. Okay? And he's tied to the floor. And he says, let's praise God. How many of you would be in the mood to praise God laying in that stuff? That's where we need to be. Do you have joy because of prayer in your life? Do you have joy because you know you're where you need to be, because that's where God wants you? Why was Paul in prison? This is one of the most amazing things. You know, people say, oh, that was a horrible thing. That was something. Oh, I never want to. Whoa! Doesn't the Scripture say that everybody that was in that prison was saved? They all came to saving grace. Why was Paul in that prison? To evangelize those people and get their souls into heaven. Sometimes you got to go into the toilet to get the people who are there. Are you willing to receive the power? Are you willing to go through whatever you have to go through to get the blessing? You know, that's one of the things that we don't realize. We are Americans, and by George, I want the name brand stuff because I deserve it. You do? Says who? I shop at the Salvation Army. Not because I have to, but because I realize that there are better things I can do with my money. My money is a tool. It is not my God. I don't deserve anything. I'm here to serve my Lord. Huh. There's a difference, isn't there? Yes, there is. Because if you want to receive power, you need to be in prayer. But the prayer needs to be right. You need to be right in prayer. Number 7. Because it's a sin not to pray. How many of you knew that? It's a sin not to pray. I think that is one of the most amazing things, and we as Christians don't hear, I've never heard a sermon on that, and I'm a minister. What's that tell you? I ain't never preached it. Well, I'm preaching it today because it's the reality. We are told that directly, that Samuel was talking to Israel, and he said, far be it from me not to pray, that's a sin unto the Lord. What? You need to pray for your enemies. You need to pray for everybody around you. You need to pray for your church. You need to pray for this school. You need to pray for the government. You need to be in prayer. To not do so is a sin. Why? Because you know things need to be different than the way they are. Amen? And God says that He listens to His people as they pray. So what are we doing about the situations that we're in? Oh, well, you know what? Lord, You're in charge. You just take care of that. I'm just going to go about my business. God says, whoa, wait a minute. If You're in Me, this is Your business, right? So let us pray. Because if we don't, it's a sin. Number 8. Because those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, in the context of this Scripture, it's talking about how will they know lest they are sent. And how will they hear lest they hear the word? All right? So we need to remember what we're doing with Miss Liz is part of prayer, in empowering her and thinking about her and asking God to move her into that place where she is being effective, you know, asking God to bless her and keep her. We are doing that very reality because she's going out. We can't all go out. Brother Mitch goes out. He takes the Word of God out to the schools and to the veterans associations and to the colleges, et cetera, on and on. And in that, we need to realize that as we are supporting him, that very reality is being manifest before us. Because those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How will they know lest they hear? And how will they hear lest someone is sent? So we need to be sending people. And we need to be asking God to raise those people up around us and among us so we know who to support. So we know who to get out there to be doing that work. Isn't it great that we have two of them right here with us today? We need to come on to them in prayer. And that's what Miss Liz is asking for here today. She has her prayer table over there, and she wants you to be praying for her to get her prayer letter so you know how to pray effectively. Okay? Wow. Isn't it neat how God puts things together? And number 9. If Jesus, as he was here in the flesh, needed to pray, how much more do we need to pray continually? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, from 16 to 18, it reads thusly, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." What don't you understand about that statement? You know, we read the Word of God, but sometimes I wonder if we believe it. How many times do we live it? We get livid with it sometimes because it tells us to do something and we don't want to do it. Well, guess what? Take it up with the big guy. I'll guarantee you, you'll lose. But God says, pray continually. That's unceasingly. That's always. And that means it needs to be part of who you are, part of your very DNA. It needs to be a second nature. No, it needs to be your nature. You see, we have a sin nature that keeps us from doing that. And we need to let go of that sin nature and be changed, to be transformed, so that every situation that we see, you know, and it's funny to me, not funny, it's out of this world funny. It's out of this world strange. Because when you see people around you, and I love this, but when you're with your friends and they're, you know, your work companions and that kind of thing, you know, somebody will walk by and they'll say, "Oh, did you hear about so-and-so?" Because so-and-so just walked by, right? Well, should we be engaging in that kind of stuff? Or should we be saying, "Oh, you know, hey, there goes so-and-so. Father God, whatever the needs are in their life, you know, I know things aren't going well for them. We just ask your blessing upon them. Lord, lift them up and strengthen them in all things in grace and mercy in Jesus' name. Amen." That should be who we are. That as soon as you look at a face, man, a prayer is going up. As soon as you see somebody, a prayer is going up. You know, it amazes me when I look at you folks, because being your pastor, you might think that, you know, well, he has no idea what's going on in my life. Nope, I don't, but I know who does. And many of you have told me that you come into this sanctuary and pastor's preaching a sermon, and how did you know what was going on in my life? I haven't been here in weeks. Well, gee, don't you think God has been? He's been in your living room. He's been in your toilet. He's been in the shower. He's been wherever you are. He is. You ain't hiding nothing from him. And you ain't got nothing to be ashamed of before him when you start getting it right. Because whether we believe it or not, we are completely naked before God, spiritually. And he sees us for who we are. And we need to remember, as Jesus prayed, so too. I mean, he's God himself. And he had to pray. How many times did he pray in the garden for this cup to be removed. Not my will, but thy will be done. Three times, again, reiterating the importance of continuing in prayer. We need to continue in prayer. Why pray? Because Jesus taught us that we should always pray. Because we have not. Because our motives are wrong, even when we ask. Because prayer will deliver us from troubles. Because prayer is our joy. Because God unleashes wisdom when we pray. Because prayer is the conduit of God's power for His people. Because prayer void is sin. Because those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How much more do we need? So then the question becomes one of, okay, we're supposed to pray. How do we pray? Well, remember I told you we were going to see the Lord's Prayer a third time? Here it is. We're told in the book of Matthew, from the 6th chapter in the 9th verse, from Jesus Himself, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We need to acknowledge God. We need to acknowledge God. We are not God. He is. He is the maker, the master, the creator. He is all in all. We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school, that those who denounce God, that He existed in the form of Jesus Christ, are false prophets. We need to acknowledge the reality that He exists. In fact, we're told that in Scripture, that God only answers those who acknowledge that He exists and live by faith. Okay? Without faith, we can't acknowledge that God exists. So we as Christians are told by Jesus this very reality. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Acknowledge God and set him above where he truly is. Is he Lord over your life? Or is he just some eternal buddy? Oh, he's my bestest friend. How many times has your bestest friend died for you? Okay? We need to remember who He is. Yes, Jesus is closer than a friend, but He is also God. And we need to treat and hold that relationship as such. The second thing we need to do in learning how to pray is repent and change your life to agree with God's Word. And that's verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, may it be unto me now and here as it is in heaven. May I follow your will and may I become transformed by the grace of your Spirit, that my life exemplifies Jesus Christ, that I may become the image of God here on this earth. We need to change who we are. We need to have our lives agree with the Word of God. When this stuff does not add up. You see, this is amazing. We pray this prayer all the time. And what we need to understand is this prayer is a model of what our lives are to be and what prayer is to be in our lives and how our lives are to be lived. Because prayer is a life. It's not just words coming out of your mouth. It's who you are. And it's how you present yourself before God and this world. Now, what does that mean? You are in prayer. If you're following my thought here, you are in prayer in every breathing moment of your life. Your life is meant to be prayer. Enoch walked with the Lord, not some of the time, all of the time. And he was no more, for God took him to be with him. Think about that. We don't get 300 years. He did it for 365 years. And then he was no more. He walked with the Lord 365 years. That's a year of days for every year. We can't even do that for 1 year. We can't do it for 365 days, let alone 365 years. I challenge each and every one of you. Let's work at one day. And when we finally get one day, let's try two. And when we get two, let's try three. And when we get three, let's try four. Because I'll guarantee you, if we start walking in that kind of reality, how much of our prayer life do you think is going to change? How much power do you think there's going to be in the prayers that we offer up? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done unto me. May I be in agreement with it. Number three. Acknowledge your need of God's provision for your very existence. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. When we pray that, we think of little things. When we pray that, we think of, oh, yes, yeah, I wonder what we're having for supper tonight. Tomorrow, are we going to have the good bread or are we going to get the stuff out of the freezer? Am I going to have roast beef or are we going to have hamburger helper again? Am I going to have homemade scalloped potatoes or are they coming out of the box? That's not what he's talking about. He's telling you, acknowledge your need of God's provision. What provision? Everything. The very sunlight that graces our lives. The very air that we breathe. The job that you have. The spouse that you have. The children that you have. The longings of your life that you desire. All those things, nothing is going to come to you without the grace of God. And we need to bring all of that before God, understanding that we are not God and we are not going to bring anything into our lives without Him. Because God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He causes the sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. We need to remember that His grace abounds into this world. But unto His chosen people, unto those who are called by the name of His Son, He will give the blessings of heaven even here on earth. But we have got to be willing to realize our need of God's provision for our very existence. Every day my life depends on what God brings to me, not what I bring to God. Because I hate to tell you this, folks, but we don't have anything. We don't own anything. We are dust, and it all belongs to Him. Am I getting through? Is God getting through? Number four. Forgive that you may be forgiven. You know, Brother Bob, he's not here. Is he back with the kids, Miss Beth? Brother Bob and I talk about this many, many times. Our scripture says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. That is past tense. In other words, before I can be forgiven, I have to do what? So many of us are walking around right now wondering why our prayers aren't being answered. So many of us are walking around right now wondering, you know, what's going on? Why can't this, you know, Lord, I really want to, you know, oh my heavens, what's wrong? Oh, there's just, you know, oh. And we're all hot and bothered, and we have no idea what's going on. How many of us have checked our own spirit? How many of us are holding things upon or over people that we've not let go of, and God can't give us anything because we have not been forgiven by Him yet, because we have not walked in forgiveness? Our lives have to be one of holding no grudges. Because if we hold any grudge, God has to hold a grudge against us. And what's the grudge against us? It's called sin. And we can't even have our prayers come before God in sin. And we need to remember that. Because if we can't forgive our others, then how is our God going to forgive us? God says, forgive and be forgiven. But you have to forgive first. Wait a minute, that's not fair. Lord, why don't you give me the promise first? Because if He forgives you first, are you going to forgive anybody? No. You're going to hang on to it. God knows who we are, and He knows we need to get rid of this stuff. Get rid of the baggage. It's holding you back. Because for unforgiveness does nothing but poison you. It builds poison in your life. and it grows and it grows and it grows and it begins to spill out into all other areas of your life and into the life of the people that you're around. It is a poison. It is a root that the evil one can get a hold in your life. It's a foothold, and God knows it, and there can be no foothold in the life of a Christian. Again, forgive that you may be forgiven. And finally, ask for wisdom, guidance, and freedom from all things wrought by the enemy, which is verse 13. Verse 13 says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And lead us not into temptation. That is acknowledging our sin, because that's what we do. We lead ourselves into sin. And we're saying to God, "Father, don't let me do that. Guide me by your wisdom. Guide me by your light. Guide me by your truth." We're literally showing God that this... Yeah, that went flying, didn't it? Oh, that's going all the way back. Let's go all the way to the end. There we go. This is saying to us, "And lead us not into temptation," because that's where we lead ourselves. That's where others lead us. But when God leads us, He leads us into wisdom and guidance. He leads us into hope and prosperity. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and give you the prosperity gospel where, "Oh, my heavens, boy, if you just give your money to the Lord here through the church, God's going to bless your socks off and you're going to become a millionaire." That ain't going to happen. That's a big bunch of hooey. God may bless you, and I hope He does. But if He does, it has nothing to do with what you blessed Him with. Because, I hate to say it, but how many of us even tithe? And then beyond tithes, how many of us give a gift? And beyond the gift, how many of us give an offering? We don't even understand the basic principles that He tried to teach us back when we were in Egypt. But God says, "Ask, and I'll guide you. I'll give you wisdom." Why do you think I got such gray hair? You people are constantly asking me what way to go, and who do you think I got to go to? I got to go to Him. This is all your fault. But God bless you for it, because you know what that does? You help keep me close to the flame. And that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. Because if I begin guiding you and leading you after my wisdom and not God's, we aren't going to heaven. We're going to hell. And we're going there quicker than you and I can crash a car. And I don't want to do that. I want to take you before the Father. I want His wisdom for your life. I want His guidance for your life. And I want Him to bring you deliverance from the evil one. Isn't that what it says? Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the health issues. Deliver us from the pain we're suffering. Deliver us from the confusion. Deliver us from the depression. Deliver us from all the things that the evil one wrought into this world with sin coming into our lives. Because, brothers and sisters, that's the bottom line of this prayer. If we get all the things that come before it right, God will deliver us. That's His word, not mine. His. And He cannot be found a liar. His word. His grace. His love. His power. And it depends upon you and where you are in your life. Getting it all right. You know, I'm not a special person. Well, my wife says I am, but not in a good way. And I've seen things of God that I won't even boast about. And I'm no one special. I'm just a man. I'm Richie Dubs from Glen Rock, Pennsylvania. Born to Lillian and Richard Sr. They were nobody's too. But God spoke my name. Just as He speaks each and every name in this sanctuary. And if you'll hear Him, He will manifest in the same ways, and in many ways that I don't even know. Because God knows what you need. God knows what direction He wants you to walk in. But you need to reach out to Him. And God, who is not the respecter of persons, okay? Please remember that. He doesn't care what position you have in life. He doesn't care who your parents were. He doesn't care if you have money in the bank. What He cares about is, do you have a heart to search Him out? Do you have a heart to seek Him, to be found by Him, and to be changed from where you are to where He wants you to be? That's what He cares about. And if you do, and if you submit to why we pray and how we pray, God will begin to answer prayers in your life on a much more readily basis. Because whether you know it or not, next week we're going to be talking about, well, you're just going to have to wait until next week. Because God does answer prayer. And God has a way of changing our lives if we'll submit ourselves to Him. So today, I asked you, why pray? How do you pray? I hope you have some answers now. And from those answers, may your life be eternally changed. And may you be eternally changed for Christ's glory.